Okay. All right. So, Kara, if you could just start off, I guess, by talking a little bit about where you grew up, maybe a little bit about your family, just a little bit of background.
Oh, my family. Gee, I was born in Appleton, but we moved to Wisconsin Rapids, wherever. For some ungodly reason. I guess my grandmother's from there, and so we moved there when I was like 4, and then we stayed there till 3rd grade, and then went to Students Point, and then went to college there. For 5 minutes I went to college. I didn't have the patience for college. It was totally different than high school. So, yeah, you know, as a kid I liked Stevens Point. I can't stand it now. You know, when I go back there, it seems like the town just hasn't moved at all. You know, it's still stuck there in 1974. It wasn't until I came to Appleton, and then my sister came. I lived with my sister. My sister had already moved to Appleton. She's older than I am, and she came out to me while we lived together, and then she always figured I was, which is why she wanted me to move to Appleton and with her. And so then I just started going out to the gay bars with her, and and at the time there was only one in town, in Appleton. what they did then, and the history is like this all over the state and all over the country, is they would find bars that were not doing well financially, and they would tell them, well, you know, we'll come here, you know, if you become a gay bar, or like I think in the original, when because it was called Doris and Super Bar, the one in Appleton. It was gay like after 11 o'clock at night. Is how it started out. Then pretty much all the old timers from that bar just disappeared, and then became gay all the time.
Yeah.
And she I found out she really had ambivalent feelings about the gay community. she did quite well financially by us. And then the next owners, it was called the Lambda Lounge, and then that's where Cricket worked there, and my sister had worked there part time as a bartender as well. And the story I always tell, you know, Cricket, and my boyfriend used to tell that, is that Cricket was bartending the night I met my boyfriend, April 25th, 1979, and we were together. Because he managed the bar then, and we've been together for 28 years, and so I'm one of these people that don't like being single. So it was nice to, and I found him when I wasn't looking, and that's I guess when you're when you find somebody,
right?
You know, when you're desperately trying to look for somebody, Mr. Right or Miss Right, it just doesn't, you know, because that was the problem my sister had. she fell in like a lot. Early on, and somewhere along the way, she wised up too. And so, yeah, so I met this man, it was totally different. You know, I'd never been in love before, and I've never been in love since. So, because he died in 07. That was hard. Even though he had cancer for 7 years, I mean, the last couple of years were tough, and you know, the end was near. But I just. I was in a lot of denial, and I didn't want him to go for all selfish reasons. I wanted him to stay alive for me, and I was his primary caregiver too. I was in nursing for 20 years, so I knew what I was doing. He was in hospice for 3 years here. I mean, he died at home. He didn't spend anywhere, you know. Sterile environment.
Right.
I saw too much of that working in a hospital. We did everything in our power to make sure he stayed at home. and he did. And I don't know where I wanted to go with that. I had somewhere I wanted to end with that.
That's okay.
But I will ramble on and on. So you just steer me to wherever you want me to go. you know, it, yeah. So I, spending over half my life with somebody is totally different now. I'm kind of starting over now.
Mm-hmm.
At my age now is, you know, kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
and one thing an open secret that's not going to be talked about probably by anybody else that you interview with, and there are stats on this, is the alcoholism rate was anyway, I don't know what they are now, but was very high in the gay community, especially back in the 60s, because they had no outlet, except in some of the big cities, they had the underground bars, but, and of course I became one of them myself, and of course my boyfriend was one too. Now he was from a different generation than I was, a little older than I was, so he, you know, if you weren't married by a particular age, you were talked about.
Right.
So he went and got married, and he had five children, but when we met, they were all grown pretty much. There were a couple in high school yet, and I still talk to the youngest one. He's 42 now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a great family. Yeah, I know. I met them when they were all single, and you know, and I met every single grandkid, and there's 11 grandchildren. There's 3 or 4 great grandchildren now.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, but it was quite an interesting funeral. I mean, everybody was everybody was there. You know, his side of the family, and everybody was supportive except mm-hmm. for his ex-wife. She was never verbal about it, but I think she always thought. I think she even thought after 28 years that he was still going to come home.
Mm. Yeah.
You know. It's easier to compete against another woman than it is to compete against a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And what the stories my boyfriend always told me was that he was always gay. Of course, he wasn't identified as gay. He just knew he was different.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I experienced too. I mean, I always knew I was different since I was like mm-hmm. 6 years old, but I didn't know why
mm-hmm.
I felt different. I was always attracted to my own sex. And I didn't know why. You know, I didn't know if that was normal or not. You know,
mm-hmm.
I kept that to myself. So in his case, the way to cover it up was to get married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in his generation, so he got married, and then of course, well, he wound up drinking a lot during the course of that marriage, and then during the course of ours
mm-hmm.
as well, and then I did too. I learned to become a pretty good alcoholic, or functional alcoholics, and then. 4 years ago, I couldn't function anymore, and so that's when I had to do something about it. And
mm-hmm.
so, because I wasn't handling being widowed well,
mm-hmm.
and so in
mm-hmm.
May 4th, 2008 is when I quit drinking, and so I just celebrated my 4th anniversary a few weeks ago. And so I spend a lot of things with AA. There are gay people. There is a gay AA here as well at the university.
Oh, wow.
That's a pretty small group, though. There's gay people interspersed in all the AA groups.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if you like with our church, you notice with our church now, they, you know, I mean, the pastor did everything in his power when he first got there to make it an open and affirming church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a great article in the paper, it was national news, how gay churches are dying out, the MCC churches are
mm.
dying out, the congregations
yeah.
are really small now, and I think that is because so many other churches are either tolerating us or accepting us
mm-hmm.
and welcoming us like our
mm-hmm.
church does. And so we don't need to be segregated anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was a reason for segregation back then because, you know,
mm-hmm.
everybody else was kicking us out and saying we weren't worthy and weren't allowed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were all going to hell. So where those metropolitan community churches were saying otherwise, that, you know, you can, you know, be a part of this. So that was the first church I belonged to as an adult, was the one of the MCC churches, which isn't here anymore. And then, well, I quit going to it because, you know, I met Lloyd and, and Lloyd goes to this church, and
mm-hmm.
once I found out that was
mm-hmm.
open.
Yeah, just for the record, what's the name of the church?
What? Which one?
The one you go to now.
The one I go to now is Union Congregational Church of Christ. It's
okay.
It's a UCC church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe all of them are open and affirming, but there are quite a few of them that are.
Mm-hmm.
No. And and our pastor does like to ruffle feathers in the community, and you know, you'll have a great interview with him when you do talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
and it is nice when he does.
Right.
And so him and his wife have been very, very supportive of us, and most people who go to that church are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we haven't taken it over by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, and I don't think that's our goal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful place to be, and you know, we all work together. We all worship the same God, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
what does open and affirming mean exactly? Is that a certification, or how does that process work, and what what exactly does it?
I don't know. You'd have to talk to Emma.
Okay.
I think basically what that means is they're open to the gay community. They're welcome. Gay community is welcome in their church.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty much the layman's term there. I'm sure he's got a lot more to say about it than I do, but that's what I get from that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that they welcome all people. You know, not just
right.
They don't cherry pick who
right.
is allowed to be there. And I believe that's what that means. So, and then anyway, that's what I take from it. And it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I'm sure he's got a lot. More that you can add to that, because the Lord knows. I love listening. I wouldn't be a church member if it wasn't for him.
Because
I hadn't been one for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was raised Baptist, and how crazy is that? And then my parents went to Assembly God Church after that for about a week. And then we didn't have to go to church anymore, and I didn't. And I guess that's when, the alcoholic in me starts playing his own God, and just doing everything my way, and think, well, okay, God doesn't care about me, and so we're good at wallowing in self pity, and so, but you know, when I decided to quit drinking, the first thing I did was turn to God, because I can't do this without him, so I guess I'm not. The best way to describe that is I'm not selfish when I with God. You know, I don't treat God like Santa Claus. You know?
Mm-hmm.
We always talk to God when we're hustling him or we want something out of him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll do this if, you know, you give me this. Or, you know. And so I don't ask him for things. I thank him more than anything now.
Mm-hmm.
So my attitude, my outlook's totally different now than it was then. You know, I was full of so much hate and rage and bitterness and resentment and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I cause a lot of people some irreparable harm, and so making amends is I thought would be easy.
Right.
And I thought it was a short list, but the longer I'm sober, the realize that this list gets a little longer all the time, and so it's a way of life, actually. You have
mm-hmm.
you have to change your lifestyle habits, and is all it is. You know, people always think it is. I didn't know what to expect either when I walked in those doors. So,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a cult or,
right.
or religion or anything like that.
Right.
You know, it's just it helps to be spiritual and to be in that program. I see a lot of people struggle with staying sober, and I do believe it's because they're not spiritual. I mean, you can believe in anything you want, whatever gets you through the day.
Helps. Yeah. So you said that you moved to Appleton with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? And then that's when you started going to the bars.
That's
and
when
stuff.
I started going to the bars, because that
yeah.
was that then in those days, unlike now, you know, like you've got all these clubs and stuff now. You know,
mm-hmm.
As that's all we had was the bar. That was the
mm-hmm.
only meeting place we had.
Mm-hmm.
Later on, that Anita Bryan thing happened, and in 78, whenever that was. Then some, I know there was something called, and Glenn and Larry, if you talk to them, they were the founders of the Fox Valley Gay Alliance, because they're from Appleton, I think, originally. I worked for the Fox Valley Gay Alliance as well, and for a short time, and they had a, I want to say it was monthly, but I have a funny feeling it was a weekly newsletter they put out. I think I only worked on it monthly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and I did that. So I knew a lot of the, you know, I started to get to know some of the people who were activists in the community. And then I, for a short time, was involved in something that Lawrence University had also. They had a group they were starting, and it was really small then. I mean, there was like eight of us.
Yeah.
You know, my sister was the only woman.
Yeah, what was that?
That was probably in 78. I want to say that was 78,
okay.
Somewhere in there.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of when Nita Bryant mattered.
Right.
But, you know, Vincent Price used to say that Oscar Wilde wrote a book about her years before she was born called A Woman of No Importance. But, it's so true. But she actually, you know, unbeknownst to her, with her anti-gay rhetoric, she encouraged a lot of people to come out of the closet then.
Right.
And I mean, that's when, and TV shows like Three's Company came out and then and all that stuff. And, you know, and so there's a lot more, starting to be a lot more gay positive portrayals on TV then as opposed to now. Even, you know, I mean, well, we talk about it at church on Sunday. They, you know, they all show us the social workers, or, you know, who want to get married and adopt children, you know. And God, and children. I never liked children before. And I don't like them now. You know.
Right.
You know, we don't all want to do that. But, you know, and there are guys, you know, they're just, you know, getting by, just working in the mills and stuff. And a lot of, you know, jobs where they can't come out. You know, I could be out where I was, you know, working at the hospital. You know, cause I was a county and state employee, so, you know, I had the luxury of that. Plus, I was protected by the union, so I could I could do that. Don't forget to vote today.
Yep.
All right. And so that'll be interesting. I think Walker's going to win, actually. The story that nobody's paying attention about regarding that is the four state senators are up for recall.
Yeah,
you know, that's going to change the balance of the Senate in the state, and I think all four of them could lose today.
Yeah,
you know.
So
and,
so kind of you were talking about that you were protected at your workplace.
Yeah,
and could be out.
Yeah, because there were a lot of us who were gay who were there who were out.
And when did you start at your workplace?
Oh, 1990.
Okay.
Yeah.
There
were a lot of people out before that, because I was surprised when I went there on my first day, and I got all these gay people. Well, what a surprise to find gay people in nursing. But all these people, and they were out, and everybody's you know, coexisting, you know. And so, yeah, you know, everybody's working well together, and everybody socializes together and comes over to each other's house and stuff like that. And, you know, and so that was a really good atmosphere, you know, except, of course, we all drank too much.
Yeah. You said, how could you tell personally kind of that, you know, like there was a prevalence of alcohol or high alcoholism rates in the community just because of where people socialized, or
it's everywhere.
It's
everywhere. It's still everywhere. I mean, just
because
I don't go out, and no bars closed up because of me. I mean, they could have, but because I wound up becoming a stay-at-home drunk. It was you know, that way nobody knew how bad I was. Yeah, you know, for the gay community, that, you know, it's the only outlet for a lot of them, especially those who aren't involved in political activism, are, you know, that's the only place to go is the bar. And the same people are there day in and day out.
Mm-hmm.
So Crooked knows. He owned a bar. You know, and he knows that's a problem. And God bless him, he quit drinking away years before I did. And, you know, I wish I would have been smart. My boyfriend quit drinking 5 years before he died, you know, and I, you know, I didn't. I drank for two instead. I wasn't smart enough to quit when I did. But yeah, I don't think there is as much alcoholism in the gay community now as there used to be. I would like to hope not, anyway, because there's so many other places to go.
Right.
Unless we can easily blend in with, you know, a lot of.
Do you see that?
Because a lot of people don't give a shit anymore, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's got one in their family, you know. Everybody knows somebody that's gay. Not like, you know. I find that everywhere, whether I go or, you know. I mean, you know, nobody seems to have a problem with me or, you know, or vice versa. You know, it's not, you know, it's it's not like when I was a kid, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, I didn't know I was gay then. I had girlfriends. I didn't.
Yeah.
You right. know, we make the best boyfriends.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that like growing up? Kind of. I mean, how has it changed?
I didn't see. Well, growing up in a small town, you know, had I grown up in Milwaukee or Chicago, I would have known something different. Mm-hmm. But growing up in a small town, I never thought of, and it wasn't talked about either, as being gay as a way of life. I thought that was just something I would just do on the side once in a while.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would, you know, I would get married and have, well, not have children. I would get married to somebody who didn't want children.
Yeah.
and that's what, you know. You know, that's what, you know, we're ingrained in our mind to do is, you know, to, you know, go to school, get a job, get, you know, get to have the house with a white picket fence and, you know,
right.
and, yeah. you know, but, oh my, it was kind of funny back in the old days when we used to hang out at Cricket's Bars or wherever he managed bars, because we used to have our anniversary parties at one of those places. Mm-hmm. We were kind of like the grand old couple that, you know, people wanted to be like, because, well, not necessarily be like, but
right,
they want to be a little better than that, I hope, but they wanted to have what we had, and that was being together for so long, because even Cricket hadn't been with anybody for 28 days, I don't think, 20 years, don't say that part. But but I mean, there was so much of that where people just don't think they can lead a monogamous lifestyle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you can, you know, if you're mature enough, I think anybody can, no matter whether you're straight or gay. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, well, that's the way the media had us painted out. The media had us painted out in the 70s as a bunch of perverts that, you know, just, you know, have all this anonymous sex at the bookstores and in the parks and, you know, and stuff. And, okay. So, you know, and then, of course, we killed a lot of people in the 80s, you know, because we're perverts. And then, so, okay, now we want to be exactly like they have. We want to get married, we want to have children. So they don't want us to be like that either, so make up your mind, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know,
right.
So a lot of these haters are you know, they either, you know, they didn't like us that way and they don't like us this way. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It just baffles me sometimes, you know.
Yeah, you kind of, you talked about the 80s.
That was a great time to be with somebody. More people stayed together with a partner during that whole AIDS time because, and that's what we did. Yeah, I mean, there was no way. I met him in 1979 before all that came out, so it was great that, you know, because I saw a lot of people die.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And Cricket knew even more that died because he's in the bar business, so it was, but, you know, I mean, we always knew somebody, and that was tough, you know, we lost a lot of people, and then, of course, the media was no help, you know, I mean, they, all the haters were loud, anyway.
Yeah. Did you see that in the local community, too, or?
Well, I didn't, but, I mean, I know people who did,
you know,
I mean, you know, they automatically linked, you know, AIDS with being gay and or vice versa, and there were people that got, you know, there was a lot of beatings and stuff and things that happened, especially in small town America. If you knew that, you know, so and so was gay or something like that, you know, that was a great way to get out of a fight too. Though you'd say, hey, I got AIDS, you know, you might get the blood, you know, so you know, you could do that with some stupid redneck.
Yeah.
So that was a very dark time.
Yeah, and so obviously, how was it different moving from
Appleton was like living
Stevens
in
Point
Los Angeles compared to living in Stevens Point.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was something else. You know, because I'd met so many, some of these people are still friends of mine today. I mean, meeting all of these people, you know, other gay people, you know, because the gay people I knew back in Wisconsin Rapids and Stevens Point were all in the closet, you know, and some of them actually got married too, you know. But I mean, I just, you know, I thought, oh, this is great, you know, and so. So, you know. But me, I wanted to be in a relationship. I always wanted to be in a relationship. So it took me, you know, a long time, from 19 to 23, took me a while to actually be in one. But well, actually, I'd given up on them. Man, they're all the same.
Yeah.
They only want one thing. So I just So this friend of mine and I, we quit looking, and we said, well, we'll quit going out that often too. We'll just go out on Wednesday night and just play pool and then we both met our significant others within a month of each other. Yeah. I met mine first, and then a month later he met his, and they're still together, because they're not dead. And we all kind of grew together, in that way. And then we did live in Manitowoc for a year. We kind of moved from, we lived in Appleton and then we moved there. My boyfriend got a job in Manitowoc for a year, and then the company went downhill, and then we came back here. He wanted to live in Green Bay, so he was from Green Bay.
Yeah, how was Manitowoc?
Well, Manitowoc was different in the way that, like, Manitowoc has nothing, and they still have nothing. Manitowoc is, like, stuck in 1948.
Mm-hmm.
It's a horrible place, I think. But but what we found there was it's a lot of house parties, a lot of couples. There were a lot of couples.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we knew one, and then we met everybody else, and then it seems, who was from Manitowoc or Sheboygan or that whole area, we met different people that way. And so, but, still outside of our homes, we had to be in the closet. But, but it was nice to have, the support of other folks in town. Because I think I knew more couples in Manitowoc than I did in Appleton and Green Bay at that time.
Wow.
At that time.
Yeah. When was that?
That was 1980.
Okay.
1980.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I remember because we watched the Reagan Returns when he won the first time back then. But, so we were there just for a year. I always call it the armpit of the lakeshore, but I didn't care for it at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's very backward. It's like Stevens Point. It's a huge Polish community, and it's very redneck, and it's very stupid.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that saves Stevens Point is they have the university there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they when we lived there, they did have the, they did have the gay group there at the university, and so they had, parties and get-togethers there. And every once in a while, some straight guy would walk in just to see who was there, see if he knew anybody, and then walk out.
Mm-hmm.
But and then who did we campaigned for? Some we were involved with the Democratic Party back then, and. I know Anthony Earle ran for governor, and he had appointed the first openly gay press secretary.
Hmm.
And we'd met him, and he was only governor for one term.
Mm-hmm.
And then we did some local stuff from some local politicians that were pro-gay at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And Wisconsin seemed quite progressive at the time because of, Governor Dreyfus signed that into law. All those anti-discrimination
You want to talk a little bit about the Governor Dreyfus thing? I know you mentioned that before.
Oh, that was exciting. That was an exciting time, actually, to be gay.
Yeah.
Especially in Wisconsin, because we were the first state, actually. Massachusetts was thinking about it, then Massachusetts did it after we did.
Mm-hmm. And this was what legislation was this?
I want to say it's 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And it was 1981, 1982,
probably
82, now that I think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That was great, that was a great victory for us. And now, of course, it's all over the country, so it's, great. Can't get married all over the country, but,
And what type of protection was it?
Oh, housing and employment.
Okay,
all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so that was really good, we didn't have that. In the old days, when in the 60s, from what I know of, is when cops used to raid the gay bars, whoever they picked up, their name got printed in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And
so all of these men, and some of them are, of course, well known in the community and married and whatnot, their names got, some of these people killed themselves. That was another thing. I don't know how high that is now, but I remember hearing way back then that the suicide rate was really high in the gay community. I don't think it is as high anymore. I think it's higher among teens now than it is any other group.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I know, like, the alcoholism rate and the suicide rate are really high in the gay community. Once upon a time, I don't think it is as high. I think it's probably the same now as any other group of people that do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you said about how the cops in the 60s would, you know, pick up the gay men from, or raid gay bars and publish names. Did you see, I mean, during...
No, never in the 70s. They didn't do that in the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what they did do in the 70s was every election year, from people that I know of, went to the bookstores, you know, they would raid those during the election year. Because you could have sex in the bookstores back then. You can't do that now. But after AIDS happened, you couldn't do that anymore. But, yeah, you could... They had all these little rooms where you could watch these little bitty porn films, and they would raid those you know, every election year. Somebody would be a law and order man, and, you know, be running for an office, and, you know, they would go in. I guess, I don't know. I thank God I never I had anything to do with any of that, so I, you know, I was just a little whole body.
Did you ever see any like gay bashings at the bars, or any
Well, other than what happened to Cricket, I wasn't there the night that happened. Lucky for him, he's wearing a leather coat. That saved his life. No, but there was a case that I thought was quite well known. I'm sure it got some state attention, maybe not some national attention, state attention. There was a guy I know who got, he worked at a cheese factory here in town, and he got beat up in the parking lot by his coworkers and almost beat to death.
When was that? Wow.
And this is after it happened, so when I met him, so, and he's still alive, he's very, very, very disabled. Lloyd knows the accuracy of this story, and we have a mutual friend who, you've gone to Positive Voice meetings, right?
Yeah, briefly yesterday,
Oh. Well, maybe she was there. Was there an old lady there named Mary Kay?
I think so.
Okay, she's the she works at this cheese factory where this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And she used to work at that cheese factory where it happened.
Right.
At Shriver's. And she, that's how I think she got involved in the gay community herself. Is that, you know, when something like that happened there, you know, I mean, like a lot of people, I suppose, you couldn't believe that, you know, somebody would get beat up like that just for that.
Right.
You know, it's not like, it's not like they didn't know he was gay before.
Right.
And he worked there for a long, long time, and all of a sudden, you know, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what,
Yeah, so you remember that. Was there any...
I mean, I don't remember anything. So nothing around me.
Right. Was there any, I guess, just negative community presence, and I mean, in general, or, during.
Okay, what was the community's response to those
that? I don't know. I didn't live here when that happened.
Okay.
I would have liked to have known what that was like. I didn't talk to him. I don't talk to him anymore, but I don't know what it was like. I know he was suing the company, and I don't know how well, I don't know, whatever, I think there was a settlement.
Yeah.
A quiet settlement, one of those quiet settlements you can't talk about. And, but, it's horrible. That changed the subject, but my mom, you know, years ago, you know, they still have a National Coming Out Day, and I, you know, years ago on Oprah, she would always have National Coming Out Day, and she would have people that would come out on the show there. And then she would, there would be people, there would be parents there who, you know, were not in favor of such a thing, and my mother cannot believe how a parent can disown their child. You know. You know, and I don't either. I can't imagine. But you know, some people do.
Yeah. So when did you did
Mom's
you ever?
Mom's always been supportive. She knew I was gay before I was. I said, why didn't you tell me? It would have been, life would have been so much easier had I known.
What about your dad? Was that the same or?
Oh, it took a little while with him. Because my dad was a macho cop and firefighter. Stuff like that. We didn't really get along. not until I became an adult and I learned to respect him, you know, and
I
well, we respected each other for that matter, but he was a strong, silent type, and he didn't know what to do with children, let alone me.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he knew I wasn't, you know, my sister was the tomboy, so that was the son he never had, and so I stayed at home with mom and made cookies, apparently. I don't know what I did. I know. I never like to get my hands dirty, so I didn't.
Yeah.
So,
was it?
So I was always creative, so I didn't like doing all that stuff.
With your partner, were they welcome at family gatherings?
Well.
Yeah.
Well, since my partner was an older man, not with my dad, not at first,
mm-hmm.
because they were close in age.
Yeah. Right.
And didn't sit well with him at first, and
mm-hmm.
then he just, I think after a year or so, got used to it, and
mm-hmm.
And then we kept staying together, and so okay, you know,
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, it's for real,
yeah.
You know? And I think the same thing with his kids too. I think his kids, kind of okay. Well, okay,
mm-hmm.
Gary's not this homewrecker. He's not gonna, you know, he's not just taking him for a ride or anything,
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, a gold digger or whatever. I'm sure that's what they thought at first.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a gold to dig for.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, after the divorce, he was broke and so was I. So, I mean, you know,
mm-hmm.
everything we had, we worked together for and created this marvelous little empire here.
Yeah.
mm-hmm.
But,
So did your partner get to see his kids often, or and you? Or?
So, well, they were spread apart, so throughout this country. But they if they didn't see him, they sent him cards or something like that, or emailed him or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But again, I think with him too, I think the kids got to know more about him and respect him more as they became adults and had children of their own too,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, and so he dad, now we know what you were talking about.
Yeah.
And you know, and all of his kids are wonderful. They all turned out really good, and they're all college graduates, and all the kids are doing well, and
mm-hmm.
in college. God, that makes me feel old. I wasn't at any of the weddings, but you know, because I didn't feel that was my place to go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the wife didn't say two words to me at the, or even one word to me at the funeral. She
mm-hmm.
did show up for the funeral, but she looked at me. You know.
Mm-hmm.
She's still mad at me.
Yeah.
She's still mad at me, you know, and. They divorced before I met. I think she was hoping he would come back,
mm-hmm.
you know, because
mm-hmm.
the divorce wasn't final
mm-hmm.
when he met me. And I mean, meeting me meant, oh, he's not going to come back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that was something she had to deal with. I mean, I don't hate her. I don't, you know, I always. And they had a good telephone relationship.
Yeah.
And she wasn't a butt in ski or anything like that. She didn't cause any problems at all. She just kind of,
mm-hmm.
So they got along better, it seemed, you know, after they got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
But with his family, though, it was like, we never talked about it. We knew, they knew, you know, what was going
mm-hmm.
on here, but, you know, we never talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Except I did talk about him as his youngest son, you know.
Right.
And of course, all of his kids thanked me for taking care of their dad, you know, because towards the end, I was the nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's the only thing they acknowledged me as,
mm-hmm.
was the nurse, you know. But,
mm-hmm.
but my doctor was at the funeral, and he spoke loudest. He was our doctor, and because I was feeling very bad about myself, and so he said, Gary, the only reason he lived as long as he did was because of you.
Mm-hmm.
He made sure his kids heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And because he said, I thought he was going to die 5 years ago.
Mm.
And you know, he longer because of you. Oh. Much as I wanted to believe that, I didn't believe it. But, you know, it was just his time to go, and I didn't handle that well.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not crying, by the way. I have hay fever.
Oh.
I know. Doesn't it sound like I'm really being sentimental? No, I have hay fever, and I don't have any pills. I got to go get some when this is over.
Okay.
This has been a bad year for this. I don't remember taking so many before. But,
yeah.
You know, God. Anyway.
Yeah. Terrible. Okay, so what about kind of talking about LGBTQ marriage? What's been the history in this community? Has there been any like push for domestic partnerships or anything like that? Or?
Oh, sure. I think we have that here on the courthouse. You can register as a domestic partner. Here.
In Green Bay?
Because I think you do that anywhere in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Statewide. Okay.
And, because I think Doyle signed them into law before he left. We never did any of that.
Right.
What we did do, and I thought my boyfriend was nuts, but he always liked to talk about death. And this is when he's healthy. Old people do this.
Right.
And it was the smartest thing he ever did, is because he said, you know, Gary, we have to have wills. And we went and got wills made, and in the wills then we had the power of attorneys drawn up too, your power of financial and medical, the two different ones. And you get that done, and then we'll have wills. And our wills were very simple, whatever I have goes to him, whatever he has goes to me. And so it was cut and dry. There was not this going to that, none of that.
Right.
Whatever you want to give to whoever, if I go, you can.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mom said, "Well, wait, I might want something. You don't want anything I got now." Nobody does. So no, they don't. I said, "Just sell it all," because nobody needs anything, nobody wants anything. So, and then we went and got two things. They're called niches in the mausoleum where. When you're cremated, you're put behind there, and then your name's on the front. And
oh, okay.
Born, died. And a little marble thing. And so we got those two. We got a good deal on those. Mm-hmm. And he always knew a good deal. So we got those done. This is like 15 years before he got sick. And so we got that done. And so, and thank God he did do that, because when he did get sick, and he was hospitalized, the only person they can call is the person who's got the power of attorney. They can't call any family members. Any family members can't. No blood. The paper's more powerful than the blood. And so they had to call me. We want to change his meds. They can't call family. If family wanted to stick their nose in it, they could, by law, they can't tell them anything. And so everything was up to me. And it was wonderful. We can do that now, but I know they're fighting for the rights to just automatically be that way for partners, but you can do that now. I guess the downside for that is, like, since we're not married, is like when you're married, when straight people are married, one dies, the other one inherits whatever the other one has, and you don't have to pay any taxes on it. Where being single and not married, we have to pay taxes on what we inherit.
Right.
It's not fair.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway, well, that's another thing that we did was we put everything in my name before he died. And so that, there wouldn't be any problems of anything. I mean, he didn't have anything. This house was always in my name. So when we sold the other one, I said, okay, because he had cancer then. So I said, okay, this is just going to be in my name. I said, well, you're not going to kick me out ever, are you? No, I've gotten rid of you after 25 years. I'm going to get rid of you now,
Right.
And this was his house just as much as it was mine. But we didn't have to go through any of that garbage, And the same thing with insurance policies. Insurance policies trump a family also. Whoever you got there listed as the beneficiary is the beneficiary. Somebody can take you to court all they want, but they're going to lose. And that was just enough to bury him. That was good. But this funeral was a success. It was, and actually we worked all that out several years before he died. And, you know, as far as all of his wishes were carried out. And then, of course, as far as who he wanted to speak at the funeral, well, one of them wasn't there. Well, two of them weren't there, actually. He had an untimely death as far as I wanted the pastor from that church, Chuck, I wanted him to speak there. He was doing some retreat they have every August out of town, and he felt very bad. He called me, and he felt very bad because you know, he had agreed to do it, but he couldn't get away. And then... his best friend is a retired priest, and he wanted him to speak at the funeral. And of course, he was in San Diego and at the time. And he called me up. He's crying. I'm like, oh, because they went to high school together. They've known each other for years. You know?
Did your partner and you go to the UCC church together, or did you go after?
No. He never went to that church.
Okay.
He met Chuck at the house. I told him about the church, and so he knew I used to go on and off every Sunday when I couldn't get away. And Chuck came over to the house and met with him, and you know, because we're talking about funerals, you know,
right.
You know, a funeral someday, not anytime soon, but someday, you know, and but no, he never got to go because he was never well enough. The last few years of his life, he was bedridden, and it was just painful to stuff. Put him in a wheelchair and haul him off to the doctor's office, and then eventually, what our doctor was wonderful. He was, and we got to be the only gay couple that he's ever known, because he's a Mormon on top of that. But he was very, very nice, and he's still my doctor, and he would make house calls, and that, unheard of. I'm a dying breed. I mean, damn right you are. So he would make house calls, because he knew, like, the last time he had seen my boyfriend at the doctor's office, he was in so much pain, just sitting there.
Right.
You know, and plus getting him there, you know, on the Red Cross van or whatever we had to take to get him there, you know, couldn't get him in the car. You know, and so he was in just such agony. So I said, okay, tell you what, I'll come to the house. And so he did. You know, and that worked out really well.
Yeah.
You know, because that way he didn't have to get out of bed, you know, as often. I tried to get him out of bed every once in a while, but he got him out of bed, he'd still complain, you know, so don't go back. I don't need to listen to this shit. You know, and he had a hospital, that room over there, his bedroom was like a hospital room. You know, the TV up there, and he had the hospital bed and everything, and so, you know, I'm trying to make it as comfortable for him as possible, we had a chaplain visit him once a week, and she was the minister of the MCC church, a former minister of the MCC church, and she got a job as a chaplain for a hospice, and she would come and visit him once a week, and she spoke at the funeral. I have it somewhere, but she read this beautiful poem from Walt Whitman, and she did. I did get a priest, somebody. We met this priest before he died. And he came to the house too, because he wanted a priest there too. The only thing we didn't have was a rabbi. I think we got everybody covered.
We're
going to make sure you get up there one way or the other. So there was a priest from St. Willebrand's Church, because that's where he grew up. And his parents grew up there too. It was important. He was a Catholic, thank God. He wanted to have a priest there. But most importantly, before he died, he asked his youngest son if he would speak at the funeral. His youngest son is very spiritual, and he's just such a decent man. So, the night he died, I said, do you still want to do it? You don't have to do it. I know he wanted you to, but if you can't do it, you don't have to do it. Well, he said, no, I'm gonna try. I'm going to do it. He did it. He was better than any of the other speakers, because he told some stories I hadn't heard before about his dad, you know, when he was growing up, and he kept talking. He went on forever, it seemed like that, because I think if you have ever felt that way, like, if you don't stop talking, you're going to cry. You're going to break down and cry, and I think that's where he was at the time, because come on. But I didn't want him to stop talking, and he was doing such a beautiful job.
So it sounds like there's a lot of, like, support that was, you know, kind of brought out by your partner's funeral. Was there?
Yeah, from that.
Have you seen that kind of?
You know, Cricket was there at the
piano. Yeah, yeah. Have you seen that? You know, like, have you seen Green Bay change over time as far as people that are more, visibility of support or?
Oh, it had to. Well, I don't know that I wear my gayness on my sleeve, but
right.
I don't know that, you know, I mean, if anybody thinks I am, I don't think they care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because sometimes it works. Some of these, you know, straight guys with, well, you know, don't hit on me. But, hey, don't flatter yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very real.
Really, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, you know. It's like, is every straight guy attracted every single woman they meet?
Yeah.
No, they're not. Okay, I'm not attracted to every single man I meet.
Yeah, so that still kind of goes on today a little bit.
A little bit, just yeah. fun. No, that was all in fun. But, you know, but as far as, I know there's real haters out there, and I don't, as a rule, I don't come across any of them, you know.
Right, yeah. You know. Have you been active in any of the groups around Green Bay at all? Or?
I used to be involved in Positive Voice.
Okay.
I quit being involved in Positive Voice for a long time. They started going downhill, and well, now they meet in Appleton now instead of here.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sit well with me. I don't know. That group doesn't seem to do as much as like some of the others do, like Fair Wisconsin and Dover and the other one. What's the other one called? Something Rainbow is in it.
Rainbow Lines.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know.
There's always something with the word rainbow. I'm not sure either. Thanks to the Wizard of Oz and G.D. Carroll and Sylvan Rainbow. That.
When were you involved in
those? I've
voice,
never been involved in those. I've been about like 2005 to 2008, I want to say, something like that.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. What type of
when
stuff
they met
did
here,
they?
When they met here.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I mean, I still went to some of the events they have, like at Liberty Hall and Kimberly. They have them there, that place is very gay friendly. I mean, the owners are gay. There's nothing gay about the place, but I mean, they do let them have things there, and stuff like that. But at the time, well, 2006 was the year of getting the same-sex marriage pushed here.
Right,
And so I was involved in that, and, you know, and working the phones and stuff, and all the other paperwork involved in getting the vote out. And we lost, and I told them we deserved to lose because of the way it was worded. You know, some of these referendums are just, you know, if you voted no, you're voting yes. If you voted yes, you voted no.
Right.
It was very complicated. And I think the gay folks in Madison thought that that would be the way to get them to vote our way, if we did that way. And said, I don't know which way to vote. What are you talking about? So, some of the guys at Positive explained it to me. See, okay, now this is what we mean. Now it's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So, see, where Arizona, I think, got it passed that same year, all the others were defeated that year, except for two, except for one, and that was Arizona. And Arizona's was a yes or no question.
Right. So it was more.
You knew exactly what you're voting for. I believe it was Arizona. I could be wrong about that.
Yeah.
2006 and see where. But it, only one state passed, and I thought it was Arizona. And that's all they had on the ballot was. And it was short for the question. Ours was a two-parter.
Right.
Because I was either same-sex marriage or civil unions. I thought it was just civil unions. I said, why aren't we just fighting for civil unions first? Because once everybody's comfortable with civil unions across the country, then we can do this marriage business.
Yeah.
And their attitude is, no, let's do it all. And then, you know, if we can't get the marriage, then, you know, maybe settle for the civil union.
Mm-hmm.
For the whole enchilada all at once.
Yeah.
And then compromise.
Yeah.
You know,
so
I think it's a lot easier.
Yeah. What was the community response around Green Bay?
I was kicked off. A lot of the community didn't vote.
Yeah. So, well.
Back in my drinking days, that was still back in my drinking days. I went to the bar that day. Well, every day I went, and not a fucking person voted.
Huh.
Mm. Everybody complains about all this stuff, just like they're complaining today.
Yeah.
A lot of them aren't going to go and vote.
Right.
Everybody likes to complain about things and want things to change, but you know, they don't want to do anything about it. And the same thing I noticed that day too, when the referendum was being voted on.
So you're saying
there's a lot of apathy.
The bars within the gay bars.
I don't want to say that, because I know,
right,
I think
right.
there's a lot of apathy in just amongst, you know, a lot of gay people in general. I don't think that, and I don't know why, well, there is among straight people, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't know how well today is going to turn out either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's going to be a lot smaller turnout than, you know, what we're hoping for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I think Walker's going to win.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he'll get his wings clipped if the Senate turns Democrat.
Yeah, that's true. So, what regarding just LGBTQ issues in general? What have you seen as the greatest amount of changes in your community?
Well, here.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I think the attitude. I think fear. You know, ignorance. I don't see a lot of that anymore. Because again, I think people know people that are gay. It's just kind of like, okay, they've met somebody who's out. They know somebody,
right.
a family member, you know, or you know, or somebody from work, or somewhere, somebody, you know, somebody somehow.
Right.
You know, we're everywhere.
Yeah.
And we always were. We always will be, I guess. So I just think, you know, once you change the attitude, you know, and educate.
What about the least amount of changes? What has been the least amount of changes you've seen?
Well, I suppose it's probably things like marriage. I think marriage, you know, we should have the option for adoption. We should have the option for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, you know, I think we have the right to be just as miserable as straight people, so I think we should be allowed to marry.
Right.
Well, I know my boyfriend wanted us to get married back in, 28 years ago. But, and well, you know, it would have been a commitment ceremony,
Right?
And I don't want to do that. That's just symbolic. I could care less. You know, I wanted to. I don't want it to be for real. You know,
right?
And that was the only time we actually talked about marriage.
was
that time, and never brought it up after that, and which is okay, because we everybody who knew us, including Cricket, he saw us bicker a lot. So you act like an old married couple. Yes, we are an old married couple. That's because we are, and
right.
so you know. We should have those options. We don't want any special rights. We just want the same rights as everybody else does, and that's the only thing that you know we're hoping for and looking for.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So we covered a lot. Is there anything you would want to add before we end the interview? Is there anything?
No. Oh, well, I'm not involved in any of this stuff anymore. However, I'm going to be working the booth at the church booth. The church has a booth at the Pride.
Oh yeah, Pride.
Yeah.
And,
have you attended that in the past?
Yeah, I've attended a couple times.
Yeah, what's
and,
that like?
The first year I was at the first year, and the first year was huge because it was the first year.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's funny is the cops like us a lot there because there's never been any arrests, never been any problem, and the park is neater after we leave than before we got there. Which
yeah.
is kind of funny. Oh, well, we're gay. we're so neat. But, you know, and so they like us being there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got one or two people out there with a picket sign, you know, some tired old scripture from the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, and some of those guys, you know, if you talk to them, they don't even know why they're there or what that scripture is.
Right.
But we're always nice to them. You know, they'll bring water out to them and stuff, and, you know, offer them food and stuff like that.
What's the atmosphere like?
The atmosphere is—it's pretty good for Green Bay. It's pretty good. I mean, you got people from the Fox Valley and from the Lakeshore. You got people from all over the place that go to this thing, and we usually have like 4,000 people or so going to that. And there's entertainment. There's a lot of restaurants involved. You know, a night of casino. It's got the beer tent, as you know, and so all the corporations know.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
They know where the money is. So, you know, they go wherever the money is. It doesn't matter. It's not just us. But, so a lot of restaurants will have food there to sell, and there'll be the history book. I thought that history thing was really fascinating, the whole thing put together. Oh, my God. All the painstaking hours of putting that together. And then the church has a booth there. And the MCC had a booth there once before. I don't know if they still do that. So I didn't go to last year's.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
And I forgot why I didn't go.
What about, is there...
It's a nice atmosphere.
Yeah, is there...
Everybody gets along, it's not... You know,
yeah. Is there a presence of trans or genderqueer people there? At Pride, or just in the Green Bay community?
I don't think we have a large transgender community. Mm-hmm. I've known a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
Myself.
Yeah.
But I don't, and then of course we have the two that weren't there at church on Sunday, but mm-hmm. we have two that go to that church mm-hmm. that are actively involved in the church as well.
Yeah.
And the one guy is married and has children.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know the story about the other one. I don't know him well enough. He was at the church picnic we had a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
But we had another church. I mean, we eat a lot at church.
Right.
Yeah,
I heard that from everyone.
We should all be a lot fatter.
yeah.
Than we are. But yeah, we always have, you know, something going on.
Mm-hmm.
We're all a bunch of foodies more than anything else. So I don't know, you know, and I don't know that I would always recognize one myself.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like with gay women, you know, you don't, they're not all, mm-hmm. you know, they're not all the stereotype, you know, mm-hmm. they, you don't all, you know, wear the flannel and look like Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Or worse, you know, I mean, you know, we, mm-hmm. you know, we have the lipstick lesbians too. And
yeah.
My sister hates the word lesbian. She doesn't.
Huh. Right.
She's, I'm gay. I don't like the word lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
I think probably because lesbian seems to be sometimes more of a negative connotation.
Like a slur.
It calls, she looks like an old lesbian. You know?
Mm-hmm. yeah.
It's the tone of the word lesbian, mm-hmm. the way it's mm-hmm. used. We're all gay, and I think we're fighting for the same cause. So.
Yeah. You know, what about when you were in Appleton and at the bars and being around the bars in Green Bay, was there a trans presence there, transgender?
Well, there's more of a drag queen presence in these bars than there is a tranny presence.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to say that. But
okay.
but there is, I think there is anyway. I don't know. I've met a couple of people.
Mm-hmm.
I knew a few back then. It wasn't, well, back then it wasn't so much, back in the 70s, it wasn't something mm-hmm. you saw
right,
a lot of, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a high suicide rate there, too.
Mm-hmm.
Especially probably back then, there probably was even more so when you're mm-hmm. trapped in, I have no idea what that's like at all, to be trapped in one body and, you know.
Right.
That's gotta be something. You know, because, I don't understand it myself, because mm-hmm. I mean, I like men. I always want to be a man. I don't want to dress up like a woman. I don't, mm-hmm. So I don't understand. You know, that's mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
totally.
Yeah.
You know, different way of thinking. It's not, it doesn't sound like it's a choice. So it's, you know.
Right.
And of course, it's not a choice. We're all born this way. I truly believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no way I would have gone through all this crap.
yeah.
Knowing that, you know, we're not just gay for fun. I just, you
know, right.
It's like there's a church in Appleton that has what is that called? They want to fix you up and
reparative therapy.
Yeah, reparative therapy. Yeah.
A church in Appleton.
Yeah, there's a church in Appleton that has
wow,
it.
Wow, Christ the Rock.
Christ the Rock is the one that has it. Yeah.
How long have they been doing that, or how long?
I don't know that they've been doing it to any success, but
they've been
doing it
it's
for
empty.
A while, and I was going to go to one of the meetings just to see what it was like, But, I know.
Mm. Yeah.
I just think sometimes you just open for more heartache there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Is there anything else you wanted to cover, or?
I don't know. Is there anything you want covered?
No, we covered a lot. Yeah. A lot. Yeah. A lot of different.
No. I'm just glad I wasn't around in the 60s and 70s for all that stuff. The violence that happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because the police department was not supportive in those days.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they are that much now either, but I mean, they mm-hmm. know they have to watch out.
right.
They don't need to get sued anymore than they already mm-hmm. are, so they got to be careful.
Yeah. You know? Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
This is wonderful.